This is Game On. With your host, Seat Williams.
Game On!
Pounding your speakers, 3 o'clock, standing tall, feeling good here. Hump day. Seat Williams, Ari, back in the box. The ones and twos, the wheels of steel. Plenty to get to today. Dope at the bottom of the hour. Final go-round, yeah, baby. 7-1, expansion. Who? Vegas Golden Knights, Colorado Avalanche. Ticket giveaway, final giveaway this week. Yes, 3 o'clock Friday, they dropped the puck on Nevada Day. We are giving tickets away for the final time this week to their final home game before they go, what, eight road games and eight games on the road and nine games. Let's put it something like that. So you're going to get a chance to win those final pair. As I think tomorrow, we're going to give away Shriners Children's Hospital Golf Tournament. I'll try to make it a four-pack instead of a two-pack if they let me. Boy, so much to get to. So little time in 1 hour. Yesterday's baseball game. My God, I got what I wanted. A pitcher's duel, two guys dueling after it. Keuchel, Kershaw. Yeah. You know, Mark Moore, the marker, I call him. He's not the markness, he's the marker. Just like at a casino, you know, you don't have to be a big player, but you could have $25 chip down, and you say to the foreman, hey, can you mark that for me? Mark Moore is that guy. He's the marker. He's the guy responsible for all the ticket giveaways. I was bringing him in today, but he had another assignment that he pulled him into a meeting, so we lost him as a guest. But he's going down to Houston. He's from Austin, and his pops lives in Houston. They're best buds. So he's getting to go. It's either game three or game four down there in Houston. And I guess a buddy of his, through his job, he could have told the story better than I can. But the ticket, this is a job break cut on the ticket. The ticket club level, $1,900 for a ticket. Not for you and the girl. Not for you and your dog. For you. Now, I guess somehow it's being fronted for him, so the market's going down. He's going to have a great time. God bless him. And look, just keep in mind, he's the guy. Let's give him a round of applause. He's the guy who, in fact, gets you all your giveaways. All right? My thing is to make sure every day I come in here to remember. And anytime it's the G-Nights, believe me, I'm not going to miss it because I know how much you guys wanted. Last time I went high, 30th caller, 50 callers, people were still calling. So last day for that today. Now on to the game. Fascinating. 103-degree temperature, right? We had Nick Hamilton on yesterday. He's seated in the parking lot at Chevers Ravine. At the time, it was 109 degrees. He's got his air pumping, and he's telling us how hot it was, talking about the shadows. And then, of course, so you get settled in, you got your Cheeto Puffs ready, and the very first pitch of the game, guess what? That baby was just hit way, way out the park. And from that point on, the game just moved forward. And from there, what are you going to do? What are you going to do at that point?
And on the first pitch, Chris Taylor hits it out. Gave up 15 home runs during the regular season in 146 innings. In one pitch, the Dodgers take a 1-0 lead.
I'm like, you got to be kidding. Well, you knew the pitchers were going to duel it out from that point. There's nothing like baseball. If you're younger, you're probably like, where's the drama? Where's the drama? You can't question the drama. You might question the excitement because if you never played the game, you're probably like, this is boring. Give me 12 to 8. You want to see a girl's softball game? Go ahead. I'm talking baseball at its finest. I'm talking the pinnacle of the game, right? That was classic World Series fever. Astros have to come back. You got Verlander going tonight against Hill, right? If Verlander doesn't get a win tonight and then Darvish is going when you go down to Houston, you could have some problems there, but Kershaw stays in. They go middle relief. Then they go to the closer, and they get the victory.
Altuve pops it up. This is going to do it. Taylor gives way to Puig. He's underneath it. He's there. He's got it. And the Dodgers take game one of the World Series, winning it 3-1. Kershaw strikes out 11. Morrow and Jansen perfect out of the bullpen. Dodgers win 3-1.
Dodgers Radio Network, you know, the only thing missing from the World Series, right? One thing. One thing. Dodger baseball is on the air. Vin Scully. Why, Vinny? Why? Why couldn't you just wait one more year, bro? Vin Scully, of all the time to do it. If he waits one more year, we got Vin Scully in the box calling this World Series. Shame on time. Shame on decisions. But let's face it, I mean, the game was called well. Fox, I mean, they got good announcers. Everything went down the way I kind of wanted to see it. Dodgers win game one. They'll be Dylan again tonight. And you really can't ask for anything more, can you? I mean, what can you ask for more than what we got? That was a classic baseball game right there, my friends. That was all that. All right. The Vegas Golden Knights. 6-1 going into last night. The G-Knights in that ball game against Chicago. Now, I heard this as well before they played St. Louis on Saturday. Okay, we're going to really find out who they are now. They're playing a better team, a team of higher quality. Okay, they beat them in overtime. What was it, 3-2? 3-2 in overtime. Ari, you go to these games, so you pretty much you know what's going on.
Well, yeah, I'm learning, definitely. They're playing amazing right now. There was a little bit of talk about you know, kind of them being a fluke as winners right now and something. You know, everybody's kind of making up excuses for them, mm-hmm. but even leading up to the Blues game, they were you know, looking like they were going to lose. They won that one, beat the Blackhawks, so they're really serious. It was a great game anyway. I mean, it was competitive, so.
And the thing about the Blackhawks, I mean, this right here is even a better team than the St. Louis Blues. So they get down, the first goal is scored against them, so they're losing that game 1-0. Is this their third or fourth goalie?
I believe it's their fourth.
They're down to their fourth net keeper.
It's crazy.
Okay, and so he gives up the goal early. Fans are going rabid. They rally, and eventually they pull off the 4-2 victory.
Loose in the right circle, knocked to the corner. There's the horn. It's all over. Dance pumps both fists. He's got two wins in two NHL appearances. This time he plays all 60 minutes, and the Golden Knights beat the Blackhawks 4-2.
Dan Duva's good. If you're moving around in your car and you are searching for something to hear, you go 98.9 FM or Fox Sports Radio 1340. The game will be on 3 o'clock, remember, on Friday because of Nevada Day. Then they're on the road. 8 of their next 9 games will be road games. So, I mean, enjoy it. If you're a hockey fan, if not, just go out for the experience. I have yet to make it. Eventually, there'll be a few games I'll make this year. But I'm telling you right now, I don't know how long this is going to go on, but 7-1 as an expansion team. Every time they put up a victory, it's another record.
Sage Sammons from the Golden Knights told me, let me get the statistic right, if they win the next win they get, I believe, if I'm making this statement right, it ties the record for the winning streak of an inaugural team on their first season.
Really?
Yeah, winning streak itself. And then there's other records, too. I mean, they already did. It was the first time in an expansion team went, I believe, won six of their first
seven of their first eight.
Yeah, I forget the exact statistic, but they're breaking some records, definitely. It's a hot team right now.
That's incredible. I mean, when you think about it, how explosive is that? Think about it.
Awesome. The energy, too, the crowd, the fans and the culture. And the thing that's cool, too, is over there you get a lot of people, because it's Vegas, so you get a lot of tourists come in, and they're so torn. A lot of them either they have their family lives here, but they're from elsewhere. Last night I met a girl who was, her and her husband were from Chicago. They moved here like a few years ago. So they're diehard Blackhawks fan, but now, you know, this is their home now, so they're fully conflicted. It's just fun, but the energy is really cool. I think even with the rivalries, you know, like the Blackhawks fans last night were, whew. I was in the concourse. I heard the crowd erupt, and I just assumed the Golden Knights scored, and it was actually the Blackhawks. So, but
so
it's cool.
So what would you say, and what you heard from Cheers, probably the percentage Vegas versus Chicago or other fans?
I mean, we always have at least half, at least 50%, but some of these teams, like the Blackhawks, and Detroit was another one where you're just looking around like, whoa, am I in Las Vegas right now? It's pretty heavy. So it's an interesting dynamic. I don't know if it's like this in other cities necessarily or
no.
If this is a hockey thing too, but it's cool. But I like it. I mean, the energy, I've yet to see like a fight or angry fan, you know, none of that stuff. A coworker was telling me they were trying to chant something negative, like, and then the Golden Knights people just started chanting louder and kind of won it, so I think it's all good. It's good energy, definitely.
Well, there was breaking news in that comment. You said you met a girl.
Yes, her and her nice husband. Yes.
Okay.
You didn't catch that part.
No, I didn't hear that part.
Yeah. Breaking news. Goodness.
Well, what do you want? I mean, I met a girl. When someone says, hey, I met a girl.
When I say it, it's breaking news, huh? This just in.
Well, I mean, hey.
No news to report so far.
Sorry about that. So you're still up on the market and
that's
available.
That's right, folks.
Wow. All right. This story right here is going on too. And Mike Leach, Washington State, they get Arizona this week. They're 7-1 and they're badass. Okay, they lost earlier in the year. So did SC. The Pac-12 ain't going to be represented. All right, they're just not. Every year you're thinking, okay, this is the year they're better. UCLA, no. USC, no. Washington State, no. Washington, no. So every year, the same old thing happens where somebody gets beat early and then they have to play each other. So in the end, guess what? You're not going to get what you want. That is, if you're a West Coast fan of college football and you want to see someone in the Pac-12 that's in, you're just not going to see it because guess why? The conference just ain't good enough. I'm sorry. You'll see somebody in the Big 12 or two teams from the Big 10 before you see a team or the SEC before you see a team from the Pac-12. You know what? I don't have a problem with it because they don't deserve to be in. If you get two losses, you're out. You get one loss, you're lucky if you get a second chance. Well, Mike Leach, this is beyond just a game. This is Mike Leach versus Texas Tech. He says they cheated him. They stole his money. Remember, they fired him. It was a controversial firing back in 2009. Best year they ever had down there, the Red Raiders, at 9-4. So, by calculations, he's owed $2.5 million. That includes a $1.6 million in guaranteed income from his television and radio shows that market deals. He said they never paid him. He actually went to court, and he lost in a Texas Supreme Court, for damages. So he's still barking about it. He wants his money. Give me my money. Stop holding back. Tell you what, right now you better start looking at the Arizona Wildcats, all right? Get your mind off of the money. Find a better time. Pick a better spot because teams like Arizona State and Arizona, Cal, other teams in that conference that you may not think are suitable of beating you, they will beat you. If the coach isn't focused, how's the team going to be focused? So you better get your priorities in order if you're Mike Leach. I feel you, though. $2.5 million is a lot to get away. And he did well down there with that program. I mean, very well, in fact. On to pro football. Mike Tomlin. Like him? I do. But the Steelers seem to have some internal problems. We saw what happened earlier with Brown, Roethlisberger, and then Martavis Bryant. He said, this was like 3 weeks ago, maybe even longer, I want to be traded. Martavis Bryant, for you, you'd be glad you're still in the NFL. All the problems you had beforehand, this dude's a monster, by the way. What is he, 6'6", 6'5", like 230? He's a monster at wide receiver. You do not want to have to guard him if you're a corner or a safety. But in the end, he wants to be traded. Over and over again, trade me, trade me, trade me. Well, Mike Tomlin in a presser today came out before he even got to any questions to pull from the pool of reporters. He started the presser this way.
Before I get into Outland and Detroit and what's going on with the elements of that matchup, I did want to take a little time to talk about Martavis Bryant and his situation, really just to provide great clarity and maybe answer any questions that you guys might have. I have no desire to sit up here with a catcher's mitt and field questions about Martavis and his social media habits, to be quite honest with you. We've invested a lot in Martavis since we drafted him. He's not available via a trade. We've invested a lot. We've covered a lot of ground. It's obvious that we still got more ground to cover with him because we're having a conversation about him that's not football related. But we have. He's done a lot in the period of time that he's been here in terms of improving not only as a player but as a man. But we still got a ways to go. He was out of bounds with some of his actions in terms of the things that he said on social media. It will be dealt with appropriately so. That ball's in my court. I haven't visited with him yet. To be quite honest with you, I haven't visited with him yet because I've had bigger fish to fry. The preparation and overall readiness, getting ready for this opportunity, the Detroit Lions really takes precedence. They're coming off of a bye. I'll visit with him at some point. When I do, I'll rain down my judgment and we'll move forward. He's a good guy to work with in the building and has been. We've been very clear about this process of getting reacclimated to us. Not an easy one, but he's worked diligently. I like his approach. But he says some things when he's not around us that are somewhat of a distraction. And I say somewhat because we're having to field questions regarding it, not because it's high on my damn agenda. But because I am fielding questions, it is somewhat of a distraction. So we'll deal with it as such and move on with it. But again, that'll be done a little bit later.
That's Mike Tomlin talking about their receiver that could be a star someday, and Martavis Bryant, who was suspended all of last season. Look, sometimes maybe for him, he just wants out of Pittsburgh because it's a bad place for him to be. But they've invested so much time in you. They've given you opportunity after opportunity. Maybe you should settle down and understand they care for you, and that's your family. Sure, you're not getting the reps. I mean, you're going to take reps away from their number one receiver, Brown? Not going to happen, okay? Sometimes you need to just understand and be patient. You're very young, and apparently somebody's in your ear. And if not, then you really have some issues if you've taken this upon yourself to say, trade me. I want out of here. Sure. I mean, hey, if it gets to the point where you're demanding a trade, we saw it happen with Eric Bledsoe down in Phoenix in basketball, right? Okay, they pulled him in the next day, and during the shoot-around, after that, the GM said, you know what, go home. We'll let you know if we need you, but we're going to try to trade you. So the value goes down. Once the player says, I want to be traded, now the offers are going to be coming in, but the value is not going to be as substantial as it could have been if you hadn't said anything. And they would have just, you went to management and said, hey, listen, this ain't working out for me. I'm not happy. I want more reps. Can you guys get me out of here? Then maybe they accommodate you. But once you demand a trade, now you put yourself and you put your organization that you're currently with in a bad position where your value drops. All right, let's stick with Pittsburgh. 20-year-old rookie receiver. I like this first name, Juju Smith-Schuster. Juju. Now, all right, I'm going to tear him a little bit, but I'm going to drop myself in the same place he is. He's 20 years of age. He's a rookie, but he's on an NFL roster. Juju, his only means of transportation is a bicycle. Somebody stole it, okay? So somebody swipes Juju's bike. And so they get this up on the news in Pittsburgh. Well, the person that stole the bike sold it to somebody for $200 on the street. So Mount Oliver Police Chief Matt Jerzyk said the man called the bar about 11 p.m. Tuesday, realizing after the TV news that the bike was reported stolen from Juju, and he turned it into the cops. I'm looking at the picture of it right now. Nice bike. But your only means of transportation, Juju? Now, look, I drive a bucket, all right? With the exception of the stalker, my girl, if I'm going on a date, I'll meet you there, honey. And I get early, park a couple of spaces over, right? But how does he deal with it on his bicycle? hey, girl, yeah, I'm with the Steelers. I'm Juju, baby. Juju Smith-Schuster, you know, you see me, huh? Yeah, I'm 20. Yeah, yeah. Want to go? Yeah, well, come and pick me up because my car's in the shop, Juju. What are you going to do? Are you going to have her holding on the back of you on this one seat?
Hey, that could work out pretty well, actually.
No, you better put her in front of you if that's the case. There but look, I'm having fun. The dude's 20, and maybe, you know, he's taking the money, maybe doing it with his family, taking care of moms or whatever the case may be. But it just seems odd that a NFL player, I don't care what team you, what franchise you're in, that your only means of transportation is your bicycle. And then when it gets stolen, you have it on the news that night that your bike is stolen. You got it back.
I love the story. Oh my God. Honestly, because it's very hard to relate to you know, to that kind of money, right? Who can't relate to that, though? Like, man, I have a bike. That's what my means of transportation. I know a guy, a coworker has a bike, and he would be really screwed if that bike was stolen. And I don't know. It's just
Are we talking about a motorcycle bike or a bike?
No, we're talking about a bicycle. About. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's okay. Yeah, but he's not playing in the NFL.
No, I know. I'm just saying, I guess it's kind of a, you know, the human thing. I maybe he has a reason why. I don't. Some guys like to stay. They like to keep themselves humble a little bit. That's a little bit much in my, it's a little, like you're actually putting yourself at risk for, you know, not being safe, but.
That's true.
But I like it though. It's, you know, you got to keep something in your life, you know.
Well, let me ask you this.
Show you where you're from.
Do you think that while he's riding his bike to practice, he wears a Steeler helmet?
Right. With a you know, millions of dollars in his pocket.
No, he's got the helmet. No, he doesn't have millions of dollars. He's a rookie.
Or hundreds of thousands. Whatever. But more than me.
You're wearing a Steeler helmet on your bike?
That's funny. That's a great question.
Boy.
It's good marketing.
Well. All right, on to the Lakers. Tonight, they get the Wizards. You know what that means? John Wall and company are coming to town. Now, the target has been there, and we know the target is there. Randy Beverly made it pretty clear to Lonzo Ball that, hey, man, there's a target on your back, and every time you play a team – they're coming for you, buddy. They're coming for you. It's a situation where we're going to bring it, and we're going to continue to bring it over and over and over and over again. So, look, that's just the way it is. Your dad did this. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, a player's really going to take it to task because his dad is starting. Well, here's what his father did. LeVar went too far by naming players that his kid was better than. Okay, so the Lakers, they play the Wizards tonight. That's a 7:35 start. You can watch that one somewhere on your tube. But I'll be watching the World Series, in fact, until that's over. One final note, by the way, before I forget this on the World Series, while I'm talking about the Lakers, West Coast, and all that. That game, by the way, last night went 2 hours and 28 minutes. That is one of the shortest baseball games that you're going to find all year long. It was the World Series. It went less than 2 hours, 2.5 hours, the World Series. You think of all the commercials they put in the World Series, all the additional gross money they want to make. Last night's game was perfect. It was classic. If you were the first time watching baseball, you saw how quickly it went by, you might be back in the night. Lakers, by the way, they play Washington. The Wizards on the road, 5.5-point favorites, 226.5 your total. And John Wall now, one of the better long defenders in the game, gets Lonzo Ball. What do you think is going to happen there? He ain't cutting him any slack. First of all, Washington's going to come in and try to get the victory. Secondly, I think this is going to be for every team that plays him. That point guard on the other team, if he's got any kind of background, if we know who he is, things of that nature, he's coming for you. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. He is coming for you, and he's going to try his best to take you out. I don't mean in a literally physical way, but destroy you. One thing about Lonzo Ball, he's got this assist thing working for him where he's continuously putting up good numbers in the assist category. He's racking them up. But at the same time, his shooting percentage, don't change a shot. He's got a very ugly jumper. Sure, we get it. Don't mess with it. Let it be like it is. But, man, that's an ugly looking. It's, you know, Wink Adams, who played for the Rebels back in the day, very good player, very good jump shooter. His shot looks similar, but not quite that bad, where he shoots his jumper with the right hand on the left side of his body when he lets it go. I haven't seen anything like that in the pros ever. Not in the pros. Wink Adams had a shot like that, where the ball, your left hand is on top of the ball, and your right hand is actually on the left side of your body when you shoot the ball and release it. I haven't seen anything like it, but apparently it works, but hasn't worked so far. Lakers right now, so far, looking at where they are overall, let's see, the Clippers undefeated, Memphis undefeated, San Antonio, Lakers 1-2. I haven't really gotten into the association as of yet. I'll jump it soon, but just haven't found myself in that way just yet. So World Series, got that to finish. College football to me is really, in my world, is gaining on the NFL. Max Kellerman, if you saw First Take, the way he closed today is going to be in my dope, which I thought was very extraordinary about how the ratings are down in the NFL and majority of people pointing at the protests and things of that nature. Max Kellerman kind of put it to where it really is. All right. We're going to step away when we get back. Remember, later on in the final go-round, we're giving away our final pair for the G-Knights on this particular homestand. Friday, Nevada Day, they drop the puck at 3 o'clock against the Colorado Avalanche. You have a chance to win the last pair of tickets we're going to give away for that this week. Lighters up. Dope is next.
Man, I've been saving for a special occasion.
Looks like a quarter pounder, man. Led Zeppelin.
Man, be careful with that, man.
Is it heavy stuff, man? Will it blow me away?
It's time now for Man, That Show Is Dope.
3:33 in the valley. Lighters up. Pass it. This one's kind of controversial. We're going to take you up to the Bay Area. Many of you may not be aware that the heroin epidemic in this country kills more people than car accidents and guns. It's that bad. Well, up in San Francisco, they came up with this concept back in January, and then it moved to August, and now they're actually implementing it where they have like a safe house injection. And I'm looking at a documentary on this earlier today, and I'm thinking, whoa, okay, what's going on? Well, here's what they have in the house. So I'm watching this on TV. You walk into this place. You're an addict, whether you're shooting up cocaine or, I don't know, mostly it's heroin. They have the little cup that you have to, that you're cooking in, fresh needles. You bring in your junk. You cook it, you shoot up, and if you OD in there, they have the stuff that can bring you back to life. Whereas if you're on the street shooting it up, like the majority of everybody that's a heroin addict doing, and many of them die and don't get the stuff in them to save them in time, and the safe house is there. I'm watching the one dude who says in this particular room, he saved 25 people from ODing. He reversed it. I can't think of the name of the stuff they shoot you up with, but there's something they
methadone, I think?
No, it's something else. It's something they put in your body if you're ODing from heroin, and it brings you back to life. I can't think of it offhand. But in the safe house in San Francisco, they're now allowing, and it's not really all the way done yet. They're experimenting with it, but at the same time, it's a situation where you're on one side or the other of this. You're either for it or you're against it. You may disagree with me on this, but I'm for it. Look, the one thing when we were kids that we were afraid of, and this is going way back in the day, was heroin. Okay? They say, man, if you ever hear anybody talking heroin, you run. We were taught that. And a safe house for addicts, and they're addicts. If you're a heroin addict, you're probably going to be a heroin addict unless you're very one of the few fortunate in the low percentage that come off it and live. You might disagree, but I'm not down with using heroin. I experimented with a lot of illegal drugs when I was younger. I'm not happy about it, but I'm happy I'm through with experimenting with all these drugs. Don't touch any synthetics. Formerol, whatever that stuff is called, that new stuff, it's a pill. That stuff will kill you right off the bat. It's a 50-50 chance if you take that pill, you're going to die. But they have a safe injection services task force in San Francisco where if you're shooting up heroin, you're going to go in there. You're going to shoot up if you're going to shoot up. Why not have a place where the person perhaps can live? I'm sorry. I think it's dope that they're helping out the people that are junkies.
Don't apologize for that. I wholeheartedly agree with you. I mean, it's your opinion either way, but this is not going away.
No.
You know, I mean, yeah, you know, so we're not addicts, but we know. I mean, we've seen it, you know, firsthand, some of us, and it's a real thing. And sometimes the solution isn't, you know, it's just not black and white. You just can't stop it. So that is the best way. He is saving lives, the 25 people. It's a definite, it's not a maybe, it's a definite thing that they are not going to survive out there. It's inevitable. So, yeah, I'm with you on that one. Mine's a little funnier story here, lighten things up a little. You a Klay Thompson fan? See, I don't even,
yeah,
you're
I'm
not
down
even
with
a
Klay.
Warriors fan, right?
But, I'm down with Klay, though.
So, I don't know if you saw the story of fake Klay Thompson at all. This guy, his name is...
I saw it.
Yeah, it was hilarious. It's really almost better visual, but, you know, I will explain. Excuse me. The gentleman named Dawson. I was looking for his first name. He's just named Dawson. He's a prankster on YouTube. He's a YouTube star. He's got a channel called Big Doss TV. He's got 3 million subscribers. And he went out on Tuesday night as a season opener, which they actually lost. He got 1.5 million views in just one day. And he basically went out and dressed up. And his physique and his actual look is very similar. So, you know, he shaved the right way and everything. He looked pretty convincing. So he went through the whole place as fake Klay Thompson. Had fans bugging out. Oh, my God, it's him. And just, you know, he was signed. The funniest thing I saw was he signed this poor guy's shirt. Like, it was meant to be a prank and nothing malicious. But this poor guy was, like, excited. And he should go right here. Just sign on my shirt. So with his marker and his signature that he was doing.
Oh, no.
It was like block letters Klay Thompson. Like, there's not even an attempt to make a,
right,
you know, an autograph. So I thought that was funny. The guy got it written on his arm, on his shirt with marker. But then he went into parking lot and the security guards that worked there were even convinced it was, oh my goodness, it's you. Yeah, you can go park over there. He pulled up in like an Aston Martin,
nice,
with a buddy with a camera crew. So it was convincing. It's a funny story. So that was pretty dope to me. He actually, apparently too, he was spotted by Klay Thompson, supposedly, when he just kind of ignored it because he didn't want to get, you know, sidetracked with the game. So, oh, and he was sitting right up front too. And I don't know if that's because, you know, he paid for good seats or if he just weaseled.
Oh, he
his
walked
way
in and got the seat.
Man, that's a nice con.
How about that? You look at Klay and he should have said, who you be? He should have took a basketball and went on the court, you know?
You know, if I was bigger, I get the Aaron Rodgers comparisons all the time.
He looked like
face only, of course. Yep. But man, because he's taller and obviously huge compared to me. But
you,
man,
should put on lifters.
I need to make that happen. We talked about doing it for Halloween like the last 3 years, Lotus. Like, people always say, you should be Aaron Rodgers, but nah, I don't know.
Well, I mean, hey, he could be in Vegas. He ain't playing.
Yeah,
out
right
for the
about
year.
That. Might be my time.
All right, this one, first take, Max Kellerman. The ratings in the NFL are down, and the president and many other people are pointing at the protest for equality in the inner city. Now, Max Kellerman closed out First Take today with these reasons why he believes the ratings are down in the NFL.
13 games on the slate. My own 10-hour investigation led to this review. There were 3 shutout blowouts. Pass. There were 2 games, Browns, Titans, and Bears, Panthers, without an offensive touchdown scored. Hard pass. Aaron Rodgers didn't play in a 9-point Packers loss to the Saints. The Cowboys beat the Niners by 30. The Seahawks only won by 3 scores because the Giants are terrible. And the Patriots-Falcons game was like the fourth quarter of the Super Bowl last year, minus the Lombardi Trophy and the 25-point comeback. Bad all the way around. So your best games pitted Tampa against Buffalo, 2 small market teams going nowhere, but at least it was close, and the Jets against the Dolphins, a thriller that featured 2 mediocre clubs who combined for 21 penalties. Bad product is bad for business. So the question is, what's damaging the product? Well, this week there were an average of 14 penalties per game. Seattle and the Giants combined for 22. And you can't name the last incomplete pass where you didn't instantly wonder, was that interference? Penalties prevent entertainment, and instant replay simply takes too long. By the time the ref says after review, nobody can remember what's going on in the game.
Max Kellerman talking about the reasons he believed the ratings are down the NFL. Let's face it, the games have been ugly. There's been too many blowouts. Parity is there, but you really, who's chasing whom? Honestly, I mean, the Eagles, Kansas City Chiefs, Patriots, Saints, a couple other teams. We really don't know who is right now. But he's right about the penalties, the blowouts. There's numerous reasons, but look, people could give their reasons and make it the protest. The product is the problem. That's my opinion. I like college football. You know this about me if you've been paying attention to me on these shows I do here, Game On. College football is gaining, and maybe by the end of the year, and who's in, if that turns out to be good, it may be my number one sport. NFL may be number two. It just isn't that fascinating anymore to me. And I know part of that is because I'm not going to the games anymore, but I get to watch college football. I get to watch 20 games every Saturday if I wish. How many games do I get to see on Sunday for the NFL? Four, maximum. No more than that. Okay, there's four games, end of story, unless you get the package which you pay $175 for. I ain't doing it. Ain't worth it. Okay, and the product is one of the reasons why. So, Max Kellerman, to me, I mean, what he had to say, I thought was pretty dope.
Yeah, I agree. There's a lot of distractions right now and a lot of things that you can blame, you know, in the reality. I think he's on point with that. And I also know a lot of people are starting to favor. This has been for years, by the way. I've noticed ever since I worked here, everybody's always kind of more into college football, it seems. Maybe it's just the people I know, but yeah. All right. I'm so not sure if I should do this one, but I'm going to.
Do it.
Because you are going to give me such a hard time like you always do.
Do it.
That's what makes it so
fun.
It's
your girl.
It's my girl. Gabrielle Union, as you know, is with D. Wade. Sports related story was on Vlad TV. Actually, the story was on Vlad TV. It was with Sway in the Morning. And they were talking about they talked about a lot of different things, but this part they were talking about in the bedroom and, you know, reciprocating things. I'll give you a little sample of what she was talking about.
Very one-sided. And while, you know, a lot of people, a lot of women do enjoy, you know, providing fellatio, for sure there needs to be some kind of lingus, same time, or not, or directly after or before. And I said, you know, and then ask him to eat.
You did say that in the book.
I did, and that's how we got to teach these kids. You got to really get them young and say, look, if you're gonna be just offering willy-nilly, there should be, you know, some pleasure that you experience in return. Only fair.
Hey, she's dope. Straight up, she's dope, and I'll give two angles. I think it's cool when a woman is straight up. She's like, they're married, they've been together, whatever. They're on the camera at all times. Their life is out there, so she's just being real about what they do. I'm not gonna comment, even though you're gonna, you know, harass me for the next 20 minutes till the show's over. I think that the second part I liked was the reciprocating, and I am a advocate for women and their pleasure all day long. So I think that's cool. We do got to teach the kids. Because honest, and I'm going to tell you firsthand, not just sexual, generally speaking, women, when I meet women, they oftentimes, it seems like the dudes they were with before were very selfish, not just sexual, all the way around. So, you know, maybe we can get a little change in the pace of things with a pretty lady like Gabby speaking on that issue. So
what's his name? What's this short comedian's name? Come on. The black dude, the... funny
guy. Kevin Hart?
Kevin Hart. Remember what he said about Shaq? He said, Shaq, you got an ass-eating face. Remember?
Yes.
You remember that stand-up routine?
I do. You can say that. Wow.
Okay. Yeah, he said it. What the hell?
Okay.
All right. This one right here, there's a good end to it, but this one's bugged me now for 3 weeks, so I got to get it off my chest, okay? Highway 91, 1 October, the most tragic disaster in USA history. off the strip from Mandalay Bay. And God bless Steve Sisolak, and we'll get to that in a moment. 2 days after that, I saw an ad, and I'm not going to be on this very long. I saw an ad, I believe it was Tuesday morning. It was about a 10 to 15 minute ad on TV. Very prominent company in our city, a very generous charity providing company in our city. And I'm not going to mention the product. I'm not going to mention the company. But the ad that they had, and the face of the company, the person in the ad said something to the nature of, look, we feel bad for those who were affected by 1 October. And what we're going to do is, every product that we sell, we will give $200 to the cause. Okay, first of all, now you're pimping your product to make sales. Okay, if that isn't bad enough, your product's anywhere from $6,000 to $40,000 each. So you're going to do the math yourself. $200 of a $25,000 buy. This company is so charitable, they probably had already made a donation. I'm quite sure they made one afterwards, because I saw the ad. I don't know how many other people saw it, because it was pulled down, never saw it again. I look for it every day. I'm like, they couldn't be serious. I'm going to let it go at that, so I won't make any mistakes on what I'm saying here, because I haven't mentioned them. I haven't mentioned their product, and I'm over it. But it broke my heart. It disgusted me, and it made me sick when I saw that ad. Thank God for Steve Sisolak. And when he put up to donate, they raised over $12 million. $12 million is going to be dispersed to over 500 people that were injured or shot, and the 59 people that were killed. They're going to chop the money up, and I'm quite sure there's still some money being raised. So
that was the GoFund?
Yes, the GoFund. Awesome. Steve Sisolak did a great job on that. And I'm leaving on the positive side. So I got that off my chest, the negative side, because that bugged me so long. I had to get it off. And I had to make sure I didn't stumble and mention them or their product. So I'm in the clear, right? You're my witness on that. I'm
actually not even sure.
I was so disgusted. I'll never listen, if you see me in the future, don't ever ask me, because I'm never going to tell you who it was. You either saw it or you didn't. But Steve Sisolak, the GoFund, that's dope. Lighters down. Keep in mind, coming up in that final go-round, baby, the G-Knights coming up against the Colorado Avalanche, 3 o'clock on Friday, next.
Now back to Game On, Seat Williams.
Final go round brought to you by Reliable Banner, reliablebanner.com. Oh, well. Farewell to our good friend Fats Domino. Played that piano right into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I found my thrill. I'm Blueberry Hill. Boy, was something else, huh? Fats! How about this? Snoop Dogg, this was regarding Lonzo and LeVar Ball. He said LeVar Ball put his son inside of a lion's den with pork chop draws, which is pretty much the truth, right?
It is, absolutely.
A couple of other things on the way out. Kaepernick is invited to the next NFL meeting. The players are inviting him October 31st. That'll be spooky, huh? And also $44 million due to Rick Pitino, also suing Adidas. That'll wrap it up. Thanks to Ari. I'm Seat Williams. Before we do this bye-bye, G-Knights getting it on with the Avalanche. Drop the puck 3 o'clock Friday because it's Nevada Day. Caller number 35. Yeah, Ari's like, oh, what? Say what? 702-365-9200, 702-365-9200. You got the ticks. If you're caller number 35, you got to have an email address. Got to be at least 21, first name, last name. Remember, folk, Tinstuck, Logo, Arts, and Pie. We'll see you on the radio. More of the show tomorrow, NBC Sports Radio. Game on. Game over.